As your pastor, my dream for you is that you would fully grasp the richness of God's love for you and His purpose for your life. And Rooted is a new and exciting way for you to do just that. Rooted is a 10-week spiritual experience aimed at connecting you with God, with His people, and with His purpose for your life. I believe Rooted will be a source of joy and spiritual growth in your life. You'll begin to see God in new ways. You'll hear His voice in surprising places. Your life will begin to move in new directions.
Rooted is a tool God's using in my life to teach me about Himself, His sovereignty, His love for me, His desire to be in relationship with me, His character. He's also teaching me about myself, the places in my life that I have kept from Him, and the sin that keeps me from living the victorious life that He wants me to live.
I think one of the things that's great about Rooted is that it does sort of this life-faith connection within a sense of community. And so you're walking down this road together with a group of people. But you're not just talking about it, you're actually experiencing life. So the discipline of reading through the book, going to the meetings together, of actually doing work projects and service projects or prayer groups and prayer times, it's more than just a thoughtful exercise. It's really about life experience with each other.
I definitely have a deeper passion for His Word. I'm so excited to read His Word every morning. It's helped me to see other people's hurts and needs much more clearly and given me confidence in my purpose and what He has for me to do in my life.
I really do not like group prayer. I love praying by myself, but I cannot stand group prayer. My group was very frank and probably would scare a lot of people, but I like that. And so we use that as part of our prayer time too. And coming out, I just felt renewed, and I have felt that way since.
Together, as a church family, Rooted is a fresh new way for us to be formed in the image of Christ and to live lives for the sake of others. Lives are going to change, and I'm inviting you to be a part. Well, when you see that video, when you hear people talking about things like their purpose and growing deeper and being connected at church, how does that strike you? What does that make you think? Maybe it touches something that you're hoping for. Maybe when you heard somebody saying, that's what I want my experience with the people at church to be like, maybe that resonated with you. Or maybe when you heard someone talk about a renewed passion for prayer, that resonated with you. Or maybe you were hearing this and you're saying, what in the world are these people talking about? That's fair too. Today, we're going to be in John chapter 10. And Jesus is going to talk to some people, and He's going to say some things that touch on some of our deepest longings. They're going to make us want to say, yeah, that's something I want for our life. But there's going to be others who respond by saying, we have no idea what you're talking about. Could you please explain that? So John chapter 10, that's where we're going to be. John chapter 9, which we're going to talk about next week, is the story of Jesus again healing somebody on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders, kind of this religious elite, they are losing their minds over Jesus healing people on the Sabbath. Why would He do that when the law so clearly says, don't do any work on the Sabbath? And they considered healing people to be work. So they're just beside themselves with Jesus. And it's in John chapter 10 then that He turns to them and He speaks to them. Notice what He says. This is John chapter 10. We'll just be starting right in verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus is going to talk to us about something that probably for most of us is a little unfamiliar, and that's the way things work with sheep and with a shepherd, right? And so He begins by describing this scene where sheep are kept at night in what they called either a sheepfold, or we might call it a sheep pen, kind of like a corral. And he introduced us to the way that things work. At night, the sheep would be brought from the pasture. They'd be brought into the sheepfold where they'd be guarded and they'd be protected by somebody at the door. But of course, there would be times when someone would try to climb in and get some sheep or climb in and do harm to the sheep. And that's what he's talking about in the first verse. You know, anybody who tries to climb over the wall and to get to the sheep, that's not the shepherd. In contrast to the thief, you have this person, the shepherd, who comes to the sheepfold and is let in by the gate. In other words, they're the one who ought to be able to go in and relate to the sheep. Now, watch how he talks about the way that this shepherd relates to these sheep. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. He's allowed in, right? And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So notice how the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is described. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls them, they hear it, they recognize it, and they respond to it, right? He leads them. And so there's this description of actually a relationship between the shepherd and sheep that's built on this idea of hearing this voice and responding to it because they know the voice. And so there's an emphasis here on closeness, on connection, on hearing, on responding to the shepherd's voice, right? So, and in their world and in their day, shepherd would call their sheep by name. And so you might have a situation where several flocks were being kept at night in a large sheepfold. And in the morning, a couple of two, three different shepherds would stand outside. And as the sheep came out, they'd call to their sheep by name, even sometimes using nicknames. And the sheep would respond and go with the shepherd they were supposed to go to. So they'd be like, come on, Lefty, Curly, Sean, you're with me. And they would do that. They'd follow him. That's the relationship that's being pictured. Now, again, we're not very familiar with sheep and shepherds, most of us. But you might connect it to the way some of us are with our pets, right? I have this really strange dog named Cal. Some of you know Cal. But Cal and I, despite our troubles, we have a bond, okay? So the other day, I'm standing in my kitchen. Cal's out in the backyard doing something, and there's a window, and I just look up, and in a voice just like this, I say, Cal. And he immediately looks up. He's outside. He looks up. He turns around, and he comes in the house, right? And so maybe you have a pet like that, too, that just the sound of your voice, they come running. They follow. They hear. They know it's you. And that's what Jesus is describing here, holding out as the way it works between a shepherd and his sheep. So it's this close, intimate relationship that he's talking about. Now, he's saying all this to the Pharisees. These are very accomplished, very religious, very spiritual people. That's who he's saying this to, the Pharisees, right? And notice how they respond to this nice image about the shepherd and the sheep and the closeness that can exist between them. Let's jump down to verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Okay, so Jesus says, shepherd, sheep, they're close, sheep listen to his voice and follow him. And the Pharisees are like, we have no idea what you're saying. Which is a little odd, right? Because sheep were everywhere in their lives. That they were surrounded by sheep. I mean, if you didn't have sheep, you ate sheep. If you didn't eat sheep, you used sheep in your religious ceremonies. Everybody was familiar with the way that sheep and shepherds got along. But the Pharisees are like, we got no idea what you're talking about, right? So imagine trying to motivate one of your coworkers or maybe one of your children, and you're trying to get them going a little bit in life, right? And so you come to them and you say, listen, it is time for you to hit the gas, right? It is time for you to put the pedal to the metal. And they look at you like, what? No. Okay, okay. Hey, life looks a little blurry for you. It's time to just, you know what, turn on the wipers. Clear things up. And they're like, wipers? What are those? I have no idea. That's what it was like for these people, for Jesus to be saying, sheep, shepherd, you know. And they're like, whoa, shepherds, we have no idea. Right? And their whole religious life was full of pictures of sheep and shepherd. Right? I mean, the Old Testament is full of images of God being described as a shepherd, of Israel being described as his flock. Their leaders were always called shepherds. And so for them to say, listen, we have no idea what you're talking about, it's a clue that they weren't ready, they didn't want to understand what he had to say when he's talking about this idea of a relationship. And so if you think about it this way, Jesus has been going around saying things and doing things that are leading people to go, are you the Messiah? You know, he's doing miraculous things. He's saying, I'm the light of the world. He's doing all these things. And they're beginning to think in these terms, right? And so when he says, listen, this is how it could be between you and me. That's what he's really saying. It could be like a shepherd and sheep. There could be this relationship. It could be close. You could be led and guided and followed. And they're like, we have no idea what you're talking about, because they weren't good at relationship with God. They thought of God mostly in terms of rules, right? God has these laws. That's why they were so mad at Jesus all the time. He didn't seem to be keeping the laws. And so they thought in terms of religion or rules or their own righteousness, not in terms of a relationship or intimacy or closeness. So they didn't understand. Well, the truth is, we don't always understand what this means either, because he's talking to us just like he was talking to them, and he's offering something to us, and it's a relationship, and it's a relationship that's like a shepherd and a sheep, the kind of closeness where you recognize his voice, you hear it in your life, you respond to it, he leads you and you follow. And we hear that and we say, well, I'm not really sure I understand what that means either, because when we often talk about knowing him, the way sheep and shepherds know each other, we talk about knowing Jesus mostly in terms of our initial meeting or experience with Jesus, right? Someone will say, do you know Jesus? And we'll say, oh yeah, in third grade I met him. I began my walk with God. We don't think of it in terms always of an ongoing sort of growing relationship. Or we're like them and we're really good at thinking of our relationship with God in terms of rules. I have this sense of God wants me to do some things and he doesn't want me to do other things, so I try to do these things and I try not to do those things. We're not really thinking in terms of shepherd and sheep and that kind of closeness, right? Some of us might say, well, I wouldn't even know what it means. What does it mean to hear his voice? What does that even look like? Is that something weird? Or finally, we just simply can't imagine how or why what Jesus offers in terms of a shepherd and sheep relationship, why would that be better than what I have now? In other words, I've been a Christian for a while, or I've been at church for a while, and it seems to be working out pretty well. I'm keeping track of the things I should do. I'm trying hard not to do these things. I seem to have some relationship with people. Why would there be anything more than that? And so that's what Jesus goes on to explain to them as well to us. When we say, I just don't understand what you mean. Verse 7, he says this. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, we expected Jesus to say, I'm the shepherd. Right? He's giving you this image, shepherd and sheep. You expect him to say, I'm the shepherd, but he doesn't. He's going to in a minute, but first he says, I'm the gate. Let me tell you something, he says. The way it works is this. First of all, I'm the gate. In other words, I'm the way. I'm the direction. You have to go through me. It involves me. You can't get to God, you can't come to God, you can't be related to God without me. That's what he's saying. So, I'm the gate. He goes on and he says this in verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So on one level, we kind of get that. He's saying, I'm the gate. If you don't go through me, you won't be saved. And we say, that sounds familiar. I've heard that in church. But we think about being saved as, again, that moment in time, or that first moment in time when we believed in Jesus and we became assured that when we die, when this life is over, we'll be with God. And that's part of it. But there's more. In the Bible, when Jesus talks about salvation, when he uses that word, in fact, and certainly in the Old Testament, when they talk about salvation, it involved this wonderful, whole, free, healthy life, spiritually healthy, connected to God, where the peace of God rules and reigns in you now as well as after you die. And so Jesus is saying, I have something to offer you that's bigger and deeper than you might expect. And it's described as this relationship where you can hear my voice, you can respond to it, I can lead you. That's why he says what he says next. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. Salvation includes what Jesus calls going and coming, your comings and your goings, your living, your life, your daily experience. And this idea of finding pasture, good pasture. Now, if you were a Jewish person, you hear these words about a shepherd and sheep and leading and the Lord and pasture, and you begin to think of one of their favorite songs, and that's Psalm 23. That's what we call it. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And that's what Jesus is saying. That I have this opportunity to offer you this relationship that includes this fullest life, that includes this idea of green pasture. Okay, so if you drive, as I did once, from Colorado all the way in one stop to Bridgeport, California, which is up in the Sierras, we drove from our home in Colorado all the way across Colorado, through Utah, across Nevada, into California. My folks had a cabin there, summer cabin. We were going there. We decided to drive it all in one shot. Really long drive and a whole lot of Nevada. Okay? I mean, you just have to drive through a whole bunch of Nevada. And Nevada is terrible. It's awful. It is barren, and it is desolate, and you think, where am I? Am I on the moon? And it's 140 degrees, and there's nothing beautiful, nothing scenic, no people, no buildings, but there are some cows. As we're driving along, every once in a while, you see these cows by the side of the road, and they are unhappy cows. And you know this because they're kind of wandering around. They're trying to eat weeds or rocks. I don't know what they were eating. And every once in a while you drive by and they look up at you and give you this look like, yeah, I'm a cow in Nevada. This is terrible. Well, when you finally make it to Reno and you cross over into California and you're in the Sierras and you come to this little town of Bridgeport, and outside of Bridgeport there's this giant valley and this big ranch, and you know what there are? Cows. Happy cows. And you can tell because you drive by and they look up at you and they're like, I am a cow in the Sierras. This is great. There's mountains and there's pasture, good pasture. And that's what Jesus is saying. You see, some of us aren't sure why we would want to have this kind of relationship, shepherd, sheep, closeness, hearing, following. We don't know what it would be like to have that with Jesus because we think we know what he would say if we heard his voice. Right? Like, aren't some of us pretty sure that if I actually heard the voice of Jesus today, what he would say is, stop that! Don't be like that! I'm so disappointed in you. But that's not what he would say. Do you know what he would say? He would say, come with me. Let me take you to some good pasture. That relationship that you have, that attitude that you're carrying, that habit, that way of being, just come with me, Jesus says. Come to me. And you know where I'll take you? I'll take you to someplace good. Good pasture. And if you learn to hear his voice and respond to him, that's what he has to offer. He goes on and takes it one step farther in verse 10 when he says, you know, the thief Remember the robber in verse 1, the one who wanted to climb in over the roof? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So when he said, listen, you got to go through me in order to have salvation, he says, that's going to be like coming and going and finding green pasture. Now he takes it one step farther and he says, you know what that's really like? It's the fullest life you can possibly have. The most abundant life that you can possibly have. Yes, life with God after this life on earth ends, but before that even. The fullest life you can possibly have if you'll learn to hear my voice. If you follow me, if you let me be the one who leads you and guides you, that's what he has to offer you. So recently, while we were going through Rooted in my Rooted group, I began to sense the Lord prompting me, speaking to me, and he was speaking to me about forgiveness, and specifically he was prompting me that I needed to forgive some people who I deemed had hurt me, deeply hurt me in my past. And he made me aware that I was holding on to some bitterness towards them, and I could tell he was saying, you want to forgive these people. And my first response when I heard that was, yeah, I should forgive, because that'd be the right thing to do. But that's not why Jesus was prompting me to take a step of forgiveness. It wasn't because it was the right thing to do, it's because it was the full life that he wanted to offer me. Do you know how awesome it is to live in forgiveness rather than in bitterness towards someone? Do you know how awesome that is? That's the life that Jesus offers. He says, if you'll listen to me, I'll prompt you and I'll take you to good pasture and the fullest life possible. That's what I have to offer. And that's why he was leading me on this path. So this relationship that Jesus offers, it leads to the very fullest possible life. But Jesus isn't finished. He's going to take this idea of relationship with him one step farther. And I don't know if you've ever read these words before, but when I read them this week, I was like, holy smokes, right? This is down in verse 14. Jesus finally says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. We have this relationship. They know my voice. They hear me. They recognize. I say, let's go this way. They say, okay, and it's all good, green pasture, right? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, but it's this next phrase that got my attention. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Did you hear that? Jesus says, listen, we can have this relationship. On one hand, it's like a shepherd and sheep where you listen and hear and follow and everything is good and your life is as full as it can possibly be with me. And now, by the time he's done, he's saying, listen, the way to picture that, the kind of closeness that I'm offering you, it's the same closeness that I, Jesus, have with my Father. That's close. And I don't know if that would appeal to you or tap any of your deepest longings, but maybe you can relate to this. This closeness that Jesus had with his Father, when Jesus faced the greatest, biggest trial of his life, in fact, when he faced the end of his life, the giving up of his life, and he's in anguish about it, and he's in the garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he's saying, Father, can we not do this? And the Father says, no, we're going to do this. And Jesus has got such a closeness with his Father and such a connection that he comes out of that prayer time saying, yeah, we're going to do this. And he faces the biggest, hardest thing in his life, the end of his life, with this settled sense of purpose. Jesus says, you can have that too. You know, when Jesus was making the biggest decision of his ministry at the very beginning, who are the 12 that were going to follow him the closest? Who are the people that he was going to give all of this ministry to? Who are the people that were going to carry on his work after he was gone? Pretty big decision. You know what he did? He spent the night in prayer on a hillside with his Father. And he's so close with his Father that he came down in the morning and said, okay, I know what to do. Could you use that in your life? Kind of closeness that allows you to face the big decisions with with connection with your Father. Jesus was always saying to people, you know what I'm doing? I'm just doing the will of my Father. I'm just doing the work that my Father has for me. Everywhere he went, he had this clear sense of what his purpose in life was. It's because he was so connected to his Father. It was clear to him. And he says, you can have that too. This is what I'm offering you. It's like a sheep and shepherd relationship, but it goes way beyond that. It's the kind of closeness that I have with the Father. And the last thing he says is this, and know this, that I lay down my life for the sheep. And when you say to yourself, why would I want this kind of relationship with Jesus, that where it's described as a shepherd and sheep, here's another reason. He says, because I lay down my life for the sheep. He says it again in a different way in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. That's what the good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And part of what he's saying is, do you understand that when I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep, you can count on me. I will do whatever it takes for you. And if you read more of the verses in this passage, you'll see he makes a contrast between the hired hand, the guy who's hired to watch the sheep. When the wolf comes to attack, the hired guy says, I'm out of here. I didn't put in for this. But the shepherd, when the wolf comes, he says, I'm not leaving. I'll protect you. I'll provide for you. Whatever it takes, I'll give my life for you. And he says, you can have that. We can have that kind of relationship where it's so close, you'll know that I protect and provide you every way possible. But he's also saying something more, something they didn't even realize at the moment when he says, I'm going to lay down my life for you. He means it literally. He means he's going to give his life in order to remove the obstacle of sin that exists between us and God. And we know that's what he's talking about because down in verse 18, he says it this way. This is very important. No one takes it from me. He's talking about his life. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and listen to this, and authority to take it up again. And this command I've received from my Father, who I'm really close to. So I'm going to lay down my life. Someone's not going to take my life. I'm going to lay it down for you, and then I'm going to take it up again. The death of Jesus on your behalf is a really nice and wonderful thing, but it gets its power from the fact that he took it up again. Because when he takes his life up again, he demonstrates not only his dramatic ability to love you and to provide for you, but he demonstrates his actual power over sin and death, which he can give to you. And he proves that he really is Lord, because he lays down his life and then he raises it up again. And so when Jesus says to these people, they say, I don't understand. He says, we could have it. It could be this way. It takes practice. It takes learning. It's a relationship. You learn to hear my voice. You learn to recognize my promptings. You learn to follow me into good pasture. You learn to have this fullest life. It's one of the reasons we're so excited about Rooted. We think Rooted is a way to help all of us once again engage in that process. Jason said it earlier, Rooted's not magic. You're gonna get your Rooted journal and you're going to look at it and go, I've seen some of this stuff before. It isn't magic. But what it is an experience, and it's an opportunity in a new way with other people to learn and to practice the hearing and following of Jesus' voice, to recognize it again in fresh new ways. And we've had 50 or 60 people finish a session of Rooted now, and they're saying things like I've said to you. One of the things I heard was Jesus telling me to take a step away from bitterness and toward forgiveness, and he's working that in my life, and it's wonderful. We've heard people say he's given me a clear sense of purpose. I know what I'm supposed to do with this part of my life. We've heard people say, like you have on the video, that I have this new renewal, this refreshed enthusiasm to participate in my relationship with God. That's what Jesus is talking about when he says, this is the way it can be between you and me. It can be close. It can be so close, it's like me and my Father. And the picture is a sheep and shepherd who hears and follows and finds good pasture, green pasture, and full life. And my prayer is that you'll take Jesus up on his offer and you'll let us help you, even with something as simple as Rooted. Let's pray together. Lord, first and foremost, we are so grateful to you for being the Good Shepherd. And for doing what was necessary to make it possible for us to be in this relationship again with God. Thank you for laying down your life to pay the cost of my sin, and thank you for taking your life up again to defeat the power of sin and darkness in my life. And thank you for this offer, Lord. This offer to be close. And it blows our minds. It's hard for us even to understand. But this morning, we want to take you up on your invitation and say, we want to learn. We want to learn to hear your voice. We want to learn to go out into green pasture. We want to walk in the fullness of life that you have for us. And so my prayer for everyone here is that you would empower them, encourage them, give them the courage to take a step toward you. And Lord, if Rooted is that step, I pray that you would make that clear to them. Simply saying yes to you as the Good Shepherd for the very first time is the step. I pray you'd encourage them in that way too. But in all things and in all ways, we give you such great thanks. Thanks for being the Good Shepherd. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.